Tour Bus Music Show, episode 26.
Audius Maximus Media Network. Expand your mind. Widen your world. Many countries. One nation. www.audiusmaximus.com.
Hey everybody, this is Michael Mannering, and you're listening to the Tour Bus Music Show.
The Tour Bus. Louisiana's link to live music via the Audius Maximus Media Network with your hosts, T. Mike and Anna.
Tonight, the tour bus stops by the Jazz Lounge.
Matt Cusson, same old song.
What am I gonna say? I did my best, your mind has been made. And now there's an empty space inside my bed where you used to lay. As soon as it all comes crystal clear, it disappears, 'cause it's the same old song of a love. Guess it only makes me strong, but it's the same old song. Oh,
Back in the game again. Finally knowing when. Everything in her hands, yeah. Forever was the way we planned. Was this when did forever last a year, then disappear? It's the same old song of a love.
Tour Bus Music Show on the Audius Maximus Network. Today, we have the pleasure to have a guest who is a talented songwriter, musician, and performer from New York. He's worked on stage with an impressive list of artists such as Stevie Wonder, James Taylor, The Roots, Christina Aguilera, Babyface, and many more. He has also recently worked with his mentor and friend, Brian McKnight, His music is filled with emotion and drawing melodies that'll pull you in upon listening, because it happened to us. Please join us today in welcoming Matt Cusson to the show. Matt, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, thank you for coming on the show. We're going to ask you a question, of course, that we ask all of our artists that come on the tour bus. And that is, could you tell us a little bit about your history?
Well, as long as I could remember, it's always been music for me. My father was a choir director at a young age, and, you know, would always come home from work and put his jazz records on, and I would kind of absorb that as a kid. And my mother was a classical piano teacher, so there was a lot of classical music in the house as well. You know, I'm the youngest of 3 by 9 years, so I was a little left out as far as, you know, hanging out with the older brother and sister and all that when I was a kid. So I pretty much just spent a lot of my time sitting at a piano and figuring it out, or sitting with a guitar and figuring it out, and started to write little things here and there. And, you know, it just kind of all came together when I was a teenager, and I realized, you know, this is what I need to do. And I went to Berklee College of Music for 1 year, and that's where I met Brian McKnight. And the day I met him, I dropped out of school, and he flew me to his house the next day to start working together. And you know, ever since then, it's just been, you know, a melting pot of different artists to work with and different songs to write and doing shows all over the world. And it's been pretty amazing, and I'm very blessed. But I still have a lot I want to do. So I put out my first album a few years ago. It did really well for me, and I'm working on my second now.
Just listening to your music and knowing that you taught yourself piano, basically.
Yeah.
It's one thing to learn guitar and pick it up and bass pick it up. But picking up piano and developing that style that you have, I mean, it just reflects a maturity to your playing. I mean,
well, thank you.
Can you tell us a little bit about how much time did you put into learning this instrument, and how long did it take you to really become proficient on it?
Well, it was, I started, probably sat down at the piano when I was about 4, 5, 6 years old, and I started playing chords, you know, maybe, golly, 9 or 10, 8, 9 or 10. It all kind of happened quickly. I would play little melodies when I was a kid, and then figure, you know, and it would just all figure it out by ear. And the older I got, you know, I think getting to do it that way, getting to naturally learn a piano by yourself, you learn to kind of know that as a family member almost, or know it as a person, and know which notes you want to hit when and this and that. So I think the first song I ever learned on piano was Ribbon in the Sky by Stevie. And from there, you know, I just sat down with a bunch of his records and a bunch of James Taylor records and just kind of learned their songs. And then as I got into my teenage years, I, you know, wanted something more. So I discovered Miles and Oscar Peterson and that style. And I guess, you know, I just went through phases where I said, okay, I want to play like Oscar Peterson. So I sat down like, not that I can. Not that anybody can, but, you know, I sat down with his records and just, like, copied little things he did and little chord progressions that he would do. And, you know, it just kind of grew into itself. And I think with learning how other people play, you kind of develop your own style, especially if you're a songwriter.
Matt, what inspired you to take up the style of music that you write and perform?
You know, I really don't know. I listen to so much stuff, and I kind of want to do it all. I the first album was very jazz / soul / singer-songwriter. The next album, I'm going to take it in another direction. I'm doing more of a singer-songwriter thing. You know, it's tough to say. The first album was really a bunch of older songs that people seem to like, so I kind of recorded them and put them on CD. Not going for any kind of style, not really thinking about it, but it just kind of happened. And whether you call it jazz or soul or pop, you know, it's kind of all of that mixed into a style. And you know, with the second record, I'm kind of doing the same thing. I'm not really going for any particular sound. I know that I want it musically to be less complex and lyrically to say more. So, you know, I'm kind of, who knows, really, what's going to happen. By the third album, I might be doing, you know, folk Irish jigs. Who knows?
You're talking about going back kind of to your younger years. Can you tell us about some of your musical influences that really kind of influenced your sound and the kind of music you personally like to listen to?
Yeah, you know, I think the first person that really got me loving music, I think, is myself as well as most of the world, was Michael Jackson. You know, his Thriller came out right when I was born, and you know, we all wanted to be Michael Jackson back in the day. We, you know, most of us still do. And he, you know, his complex style with such simple songs and made him fun. And, you know, it was something that, you know, people aren't doing these days. It's tough to mix all that into a song, and yet he's still singing his butt off and dancing his butt off, and it was really amazing. And then I think from there it just got into, I got into, you know, heavy into James Taylor. He's probably still today one of my favorite artists. Heavily into Stevie. And then I went through a jazz phase in my teenage years where I listened to, you know, a lot of Miles, a lot of Oscar and Coltrane and all that. And then as I got older, I guess I was just searching for songs, because I've heard all the players, I've heard all the chords. I was just searching for songs. So these days I'm listening to a lot of deeper songwriter stuff, like Paul Simon and stuff like that. I love the way they put songs together. It's fun to see how different artists put songs together. And growing up, there really wasn't a lot that I didn't listen to. I even listened to some rap, listened to a lot of classical. As I said, my mom was a classical teacher. Movie scoring, you know, as long as it's good, it doesn't matter what style it is to me.
Matt, your music has a maturity to it that sounds far beyond your years. How have you developed your signature sound?
I think it really just comes from listening to all that music that I've listened to and learning it all and kind of dissecting every little thing. When I write songs, I don't limit myself. I don't really say, well, I need to make this simpler. I need to make this catchier. Or this lyric is, you know, doesn't make any sense to most people, and I should change. You know, I really don't try not to limit myself. I just kind of, you know, Quincy Jones once said, let the song write itself. And I've been living by that ever since I heard it. And if it turns out to be a 4-chord pop song with a catchy lyric, great. If it turns out to be, you know, something completely left, then it is what it is. I'm not going to change what the songwriting process so I can try to write something. I just kind of write it and see, and whatever comes out, comes out. And through that, I think, you know, songs like Every Step and One of Those Nights and some of the new stuff I'm writing, it just kind of develops.
Yeah, and I just wanted to make a comment on that. Listening through your music that mm-hmm. is online, I mean, mm-hmm. again, the maturity level of your music just really comes out. You can hear some of the influences. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's completely unique. Right. But I can hear Miles Davis in it. I can hear sure. James Taylor. You know, it's just...
Absolutely.
And it's so rare to see a younger artist like you actually interested in writing and performing new music along that genre. And I really have to give you kudos for that, because I've really enjoyed listening to your music.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I think it's almost impossible to not show influence. You know, I could go through each song in the album and say, well, when I wrote this, I thought of this. And when I, you know, there's a little, that happens with songwriters. And
right.
And I appreciate you saying Miles and James. Those, I mean, it doesn't get any better than that.
Can you tell us what the experience is like attending one of your live shows?
You know, I like to conduct my shows as if we are all buddies and hanging out in my living room around a piano or a guitar and just hanging out. And, you know, I'm very loose on stage. I'll sing a song and I'll do my best to make you cry. But when the song's over, I'm a complete idiot and dork at heart. So there's a lot of funny joking around and it's there. You know, I want people to have fun at my shows while getting that musical experience. Because, you know, when I play a song like Comfortable, there's no jokes. And there's, you know, people are sitting and listening to that. And it's a sad song. And it's you know, that it gives you that vibe. But then I also like to step it up and say something. I don't know. You know, my shows, you never know what I'm going to say. You never know what I'm going to do. I've embarrassed myself several times. And who knows? Who knows what happens next show? But they're fun. They're musical. I always got a great band with me. Very lucky to play with the guys I play with. And I just try to have a lot of fun.
Matt Cusson, One of Those Nights.
Thank you. darkness in me is my lone company till the stars light the sky.
Presented with the Maxell Song of the Year Prize from the 12th Annual John Lennon Songwriting Contest. And it was presented to you by none other than Brian,
right,
who you've played keyboards for, as you mentioned earlier. One of these nights, can you tell us about your experience in receiving the award and how you came to write that particular song?
Yeah, the one of those nights was written, God, I must have started writing it when I was living in New York. I went through this series of hilarious bad luck where I was living in this tiny little apartment in Manhattan, and my car got stolen by an armed bank robber and totaled in a car accident. And then that same night, my bank account got cleared by some guy in California who made a fake debit card. And then that same night, I called my girlfriend who I was with for 5 months, and she said, I think we should stop seeing each other. So I can laugh about it now. It's actually really hilarious that that was one day of my life. But, you know, I just, at the end of that, what do you do? So I sat down at the piano. I just started playing some stuff. And the song, I think it was conceived at that point, but it wasn't really, you know, it took me a long, long time to finish that song. I would actually say if the album came out in 2008, I probably finished the song in 2007, started writing it in 2004, maybe. And that's one where I, in particularly, didn't have any restrictions. You know, the song changes keys, it changes tempos, it, you know, the band is in and out. As far as dynamics go, it's soft and it's loud and it's kind of everywhere. You know, lyrically, there's just people every day saying, oh, God, it's one of those days or it's one of those nights. And I'm like, why isn't that a song yet? So I kind of just wrote it. That's one of those songs that you leave alone for 6 months, you come back to it, you write a verse, you leave it alone for another few months, and you come, you know, you write it as you feel it. And that's completely what one of those nights is.
And it really comes down to, as I've heard from a lot of artists and even in my own songwriting experience, mm-hmm. that the best songs tend to come out of your life's experiences.
Without question. Without question.
Can you tell us what it is that you'd like to achieve that you have not already achieved in your music career?
You know, I think I just want to hit more people with music that they're inspired by or you know, can feel. And wherever that takes me, I'll be happy. I think the goal is right now to just touch more people and all over the world. And I, with the second record, you know, I got... First record got some of the jazz crowd and some of the R&B crowd. The second record, I'm going to hit, you know, that singer-songwriter thing and really hope that I keep those jazz and R&B followers, yet I still grab those singer-songwriter and even folk and that style of writer. And, you know, goals, you have your dreams of winning Grammys and selling platinum records and whatnot, and that's all fine and dandy, but... I think wherever the music takes me is a goal, and I hope to accomplish that with that second record.
Now, looking back over some of your accomplishments, besides just the award, I mean, mm-hmm. you've been able to play on several television shows. You've played on the Michael Jackson Man in the Mirror tribute tour. Mm-hmm. And one thing that really impressed me in your bio was that you were a 3-time amateur Night at the Apollo winner. Now, that's a tough crowd.
That was the scariest moment of my life. I was 18 or 19, and I got the opportunity, and good God, I didn't know what to expect. And it was amazing. I was actually supposed to go back a 4th time, so I couldn't go back on the date that they wanted me back. And that kind of, you know, I was good. I won 3 times, and it was what an experience to be on that stage in front of that crowd. And I can't even remember what I sang. I think I sang a Donny Hathaway song or something. And to be on that stage singing a Donny Hathaway song, like, it, you know, that's the dream. And to win made it even better. So yeah, that was, like I said, scary as hell, but I'm glad I got through it and came out a better singer for it.
Do you have any new solo tours in the works at this time? And if so, could you tell us where we could find information on your upcoming dates?
Yeah, I went on my a big solo tour last year from about May to August, and it was very successful. And this year I'm concentrating more on finishing the record more than anything. I'm shooting for the end of the summer, fall, for it to be finished, with some sneak peeks and EPs somewhere along the way as well. As far as tours go, I'm going to be spending 2 weeks out of April with Javier Colon, the guy that won the show The Voice on NBC.
Right.
One of my good friends and amazing singer-songwriter. So we'll be out for 2 weeks, just me and him, and that's going to be fun. And after that, you know, there's a lot of one-offs, a lot of one-spot dates, and I'm trying not to go out this summer for weeks at a time. Unless I have to, but the tour dates are on mattcuson.com, or if you follow me on Twitter or on Facebook, it's just my name, MATTCUSSON. I'm always saying when my shows are. My next show, I don't think is, I actually got a show Monday in Iowa with Javier Colon, and then my next full band show is April 10th at Bitter End in New York City. We got Villanova on the 12th, you know, it's all over the place, but no big long summer tours planned yet.
So I'd assume, though, when the new album comes out, that you'll be lining up some supporting dates for it.
I will be all over the dang place when that thing comes out.
Well, be sure to include us down here in Louisiana when you come out with that. Oh,
without question. Actually, you know what? I might be coming down there. They want me to do a two-week run from New Orleans to across Alabama, Mississippi, all that over to Florida. So I will definitely let you know if that happens. That'll be either June or July.
That would be great. Yeah, we'd love to come out and meet you.
That'd be great. I will definitely make sure you know.
Matt, can you tell us in general, what is it that continues to inspire you to write music?
You know, everything does, really. I feel like I could write a song about the chair I'm sitting in right now if I was detailed enough. It's just, you know, I got engaged this year. That I've written about 40 songs about my lovely fiance. Playing with other musicians and listening to new stuff that comes out, that'll always inspire you. You know, I love listening to people that I think are better than me because it makes me want to be a lot better. And these days I'm listening to a guy named Alan Hampton who is completely blowing my mind with his writing. And Gretchen Parlato is this great jazz singer who, you know, same thing. You just listen to these people and you just, wow, you know, now I want to try that. And I want to write a song like that. And, you know, I think as long as there's music and as long as there's people, I'll be inspired to write something about it.
Congratulations on your engagement. And
thank you very much.
Your upcoming marriage.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
We're going to play another song now. Comfortable. Mm-hmm. You had mentioned it a little bit earlier. Could you tell us a little bit more about this song?
Yeah, that song. One of my favorite songwriters is John Mayer. Without question, the way he phrases things and says words things is awesome. And that's an old John Mayer song. I must have heard it. I heard it when I was at Berkeley when I was about 19. And I told him, I said, I don't care what you do with this song. I'm recording it at some point in my life. And lo and behold, 4 years or so later, I literally just was in the studio. I sat down, played piano and sang it. And it was done in about two takes. And I popped it on MySpace. It was the first thing that I ever really put on the internet. And it was so well received. I still play it in shows to this day. It's just an amazing song. The lyrics, the melodies, the chords, you know, it's one of my favorite songs ever, I think. And I'm glad I was able to do it some kind of justice.
Matt Cusson, Comfortable.
Your mouth was
and she swears that she's ours, but you could distinguish Miles from Coltrane.
Matt, can you tell us about some of your future plans?
Yeah, I mean, I outside of this second record, you know, there's so much music. As I said, I listen to so many different styles, and I want to have a dip in all of them. And when the album is done, I don't know whether before or after, I'm going to put out a couple EPs, maybe just like me and a Rhodes singing and playing some soulful songs, or me and a guitar playing some folk music even, and I want to put out a Christmas thing next year. I started to record it last Christmas, but I ended up going on the road for 3 weeks in December, so I wasn't able to finish it. So I'm going to try to put out a, you know, 5-6 song Christmas EP at Christmas time. And then hopefully when this album drops, I will be on the road again. And, you know, just playing with people. I'm playing, there's a show on NBC now called Smash that's doing really well. And I've been playing a few shows with Megan Hilty, who's one of the stars of that show. More stuff with her, more stuff with McKnight, more stuff with Javier. And I see in my future a lot of co-writes, a lot of released music, and hopefully a lot of fun.
Can you tell us about the Matt? I mean, we've been talking here about how you got into music and how mm-hmm. your music career has been going, but can you tell us about the Matt outside of the music scene, a little bit of what you're like personally and what some of your interests are?
Well, growing up, my other home besides music was basketball, believe it or not. I was scouted by a few colleges to play, but being short and white, I figured I didn't have much of a future. So thank God I chose Berkeley to go to school and play some music instead. So I'm a diehard Boston Celtic fan. I'm sorry. You're probably what are you, Hornets?
Yeah. Yeah, Hornets are down here in New Orleans.
Right. So yeah, no, we're diehard Celtic fans. I try to watch every game I can. And we, you know, football fan. I'm a New York Giants fan, so I'm very happy right now. And you know, I'm a pretty laid back dude. I love. There's nothing like a long walk to me, or a long car drive, or you know, it's just spending time. I'm a total, really, really close with my family, and anytime I have a few days off, I come up to Massachusetts and hang out. And my dad's a gourmet chef, so I get a heck of a meal out of the visit. And you know, I like to kick back, watch a movie, drink some wine, and just chill. I'm a pretty laid back dude, and I'm down for anything though. We can go hang out, we can go party, whatever anybody wants to do, I'm in.
Matt, you stated it earlier, but again, where can our listeners find you online?
Well, Facebook and Twitter seem to be owning most of the online traffic these days. My Twitter is twitter.com/MattCuson, MattCuson. My Facebook fan page is facebook.com/MattCusonMusic. I'm pretty much, you know, all the albums and everything is on Amazon and iTunes and Rhapsody and wherever you buy your music, really. I'm on. I'm trying to be everywhere everybody else is online. So, you know, you look for me, I'm sure you'll find me.
You know, you're going out to a lot of people today, not only your existing fans, but all the new fans that you're making mm-hmm. today. Is there anything in particular that you would like to say to all of them?
Well, thank you, first of all. You know, I still get chills and can't believe it when somebody writes me and says, you know, I got a letter from a guy in Iraq a couple weeks ago who said, I don't go to sleep without listening to your album. And that, you know, right there is the reason why we play music. And, you know, it touched me so much. And anybody that listens to my record, you know, it's just amazing that they take time out of their day to listen. And especially when they write me. If you write me on Facebook and Twitter, I will respond. I'm that kind of artist. And I just hope you enjoy, you know, I write songs that I feel, and I don't know what style it may be, and I don't try to categorize any of it. I just hope it's something that you enjoy, and I appreciate you taking the time to listen and spread the word, and hopefully the disease will be spread, hopefully.
Well, again, everyone, we're going to be wrapping up the show here shortly, but again, we want to remind you, you can also find Matt at mattcuson.com.
Right.
And man, I'll tell you, it's been a real pleasure talking to you.
Thank you, man. Pleasure's mine.
Absolute pleasure listening to your music.
Thank you so much. And I hope you enjoy the new stuff, too, when it comes out.
We will certainly be looking out for it, and hopefully we'll have you on the tour bus later this year to talk about it.
Let's do it.
Well, the last song we're going to play tonight is going to be Once Upon a Time. And can you tell us a little bit about this song?
Yeah, I wrote that song for my three nieces, my three lovely nieces, who are now 19, 10, and 8. And I wrote that song when they were, I don't know, probably around 3-4 years old. And my brother, who has the two littlest ones, always said, you got to write a lullaby, you got to write a lullaby. And I never tried to force one, but it came one time. And when I was babysitting and I was dressed like a fairy princess and running around the house with them, and that just kind of sparked it. And yeah, I hope you enjoy. I actually am finding out that a lot of people are using this for the father-daughter dance at their weddings, and that means the world to me. So I appreciate it.
Matt Cuson, Once Upon a Time.
It's been said that the fairy tales have all been read, yet the pages rest your little. And they wrap you up inside your bed, and then take you to a place that you'll only find in your paradigm mind from the stories that you read. But if happy endings are just pretendings, then why the golden smile? So I wish you may, I wish you might find your once upon a time. So you said that you lost your slipper late at night, and that elephants can really fly, and those are diamonds lighting up the sky. For a moment I could swear I saw and believed everything that you see in
twirl around in your princess gown, it brings me back to life. So I wish you may, I wish you might find your once upon a time. I'll go with you, and we'll do everything in your imagination. Don't let go, 'cause again she'll say hello as we wash the fingerprints from your window.
Thank you guys for having me and all that stuff. This was fun.
No problem.
Not a problem.
And look, I'll tell you, now we've got the Once Upon a Time, mm-hmm. and we want to wish you a happily ever after with your engagement, marriage,
Thank
and
you
your
so
life and music career.
Thank you so much, and likewise, and we'll definitely be in touch, and I look forward to the next time.
Thank you so much, Matt.
Sounds good. Thank
all right.
you, Matt.
Take care. Thanks, guys.